Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Rabbi said at Justice Ginsburg's memorial in the Capitol, her dissent, her strong words when she would disagree with the Republican-appointed justices, her words were never cries of defeat. They were blueprints for the future. So to all Americans, this hearing, whatever these guys try to do, whatever you hear from me, it will not be a cry of defeat. It will instead be our blueprint for the future. Yes, Judge. I think this hearing is a sham. I think it shows real messed up priorities from the Republican Party. But I am here to do my job, to tell the truth. To all Americans, we don't have some clever procedural way to stop this sham, to stop them from rushing through a nominee. But we have a secret weapon that they don't have. We have Americans who are watching, who work hard every day, believe in our country and the rule of law, whether they are Democrats, Republicans, or independents. They know what this president and the Republican Party are doing right now is very wrong. In fact, 74% of Americans think we should be working on a COVID relief package right now instead of this. Let me tell you a political secret. I doubt that it will be a brilliant cross-examination that's going to change this judge's trajectory this week. No, it is you. It is you calling Republican senators and telling them enough is enough, telling them it is personal, telling them they have their priorities wrong. So do it. And it is you voting even when they try to do everything to stop you. It is you making your own blueprint for the future instead of crying defeat. So do it. This isn't Donald Trump's country. It is yours. This shouldn't be Donald Trump's judge. It should be yours. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, that's Senator Amy Klobuchar talking for a while there in her statement on the Senate Judiciary Committee as it begins with the Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. The numbers are there. The Republicans should have no problem. And this will be nothing like the Brett Kavanaugh hearings were, which could be more like a freak show, circus sideshow, whatever you want to call it. But that was then. This is now in the middle of a pandemic and an opening because Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies with enough time for this to move forward for this president, despite what the Democrats see as a push in the wrong direction and not letting the American people be heard. What do you say? Send me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. And once again, thanks for joining us for this version of the show. Here's what happened with Amy Coney Barrett, the judge. She said on Monday that Americans deserve an independent Supreme Court that interprets our Constitution and laws as they are written. She has a very conservative approach to the law. And she spoke about her philosophy, her experience, her large family at the end of the first day of what is a fast-track confirmation hearing, like I said, that the Senate Democrats are not happy about, thus Klobuchar, what you heard her say there. And after sitting for about 4 hours of opening statements, like that one from members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the federal appeals court judge laid out her approach that I mentioned to the bench, which she has likened to that of her mentor, the late Justice Antonin Scalia. She said courts have a vital responsibility to the rule of law, which is critical to a free society. But courts are not designed to solve every problem or right every wrong in our public life. She said the policy decisions and value judgments of government must be made by the political branches elected by and accountable to the people. The public should not expect courts to do so, and courts should not try. She did say that she is forever grateful for Ginsburg's trailblazing path as a woman on the court. So there you go. There wasn't the heavy, heavy drama that you saw the last time around, but there certainly were a few pointed moments in this, like health care coverage for millions of Americans. That was brought up many times, that it's at stake with this nomination. That was Senator Dianne Feinstein of California. She's the senior Dem. She brought that up. The pre-existing conditions came up a bunch. So, again, the ACA law, certainly. And then you had Senator Chuck Grassley, longtime Republican from Iowa, who dismissed the warnings that she's going to, that Barrett would undo the Obama era health care law. She said it, he said it's outrageous. So Trump seemed as though the president that he was watching, because if you follow his Twitter feed, he tweeted out several times about during the hearing. In one message, he tweeted that he'd have a far better health plan with lower cost of protections for pre-existing conditions. But he must have been watching because of some of the things that other things that he tweeted out, and other Republicans were following along that weren't in the room that were tweeting things out too. Her religious views and past leadership role in a Catholic community is a challenge, I think, for the Democrats, because you look at abortion, gay marriage, other social issues, and then you have this strong faith, and how do you try to, how do they try to torpedo that? Because that would be taken as a nick, a cut, the wrong alley to go down, I guess. So the Senate Judiciary Committee met on a federal holiday, and this kicks off the 4 days of statements and testimony. And because of the coronavirus pandemic, it's certainly a different world in how this is being viewed and what the setup is. Some senators were talking remotely. That's how they took part in it. And the hearing room itself was arranged with health concerns in mind. At the end of this, there'll be a vote. The Republicans will vote for her nomination to be approved to move forward, and the Democrats will vote in a different direction. So she should be, barring something unforeseen, she should be the next Supreme Court justice. I would be stunned if that did not happen. All right, I'm not stunned by the number of cases, because we're still in that weird zone of trying to figure this whole thing out in the era of the pandemic. But United States cases, 218,448. 218,000. To our friends listening to us in Australia, the UK, Wales, South Africa, and so many great places, first of all, thanks for your support. But also, sadly, if we look at, again, global, when you throw in the US into this, you've got 1,078,629 deaths, and that's out of 37 million plus confirmed cases when it comes to the coronavirus. All right, stay with us. We've just scratched the surface.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy, because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Warning, if you are over the age of 65 and on Medicare Parts A and B, you must listen to this. Studies show that the average Medicare recipient pays more than $5,000 in out-of-pocket medical expenses each year. What is even worse is that sudden health emergencies can cost $75,000 or more and force thousands of unfortunate Americans into extreme debt and even bankruptcy. There is hope. The solution is SnapMedicare.com. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to protect yourself and your finances. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in your coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare, remember and rest easy knowing that your medical expenses are being taken care of with SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516. You and your loved ones deserve peace of mind, and SnapMedicare.com will help you get it. Call 800-286-5516. That's 800-286-5516.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
You have a pumpkin patch in your backyard, and you're watering your plants up to 10 times a day. You're feeding them, caressing them, fertilizing them, really taking good care of them. And boy, there is that massive payoff because one weighs 2,350 pounds. Yeah, that's your mic drop moment right there in the pumpkin patch. What? I grew a pumpkin that's 2,350 pounds? What am I going to do with this gourd? Well, if you were Travis Ganger of Anoka, Minnesota, then you were going to get in your car, figure out a way to take this gargantuan gourd for a 35-hour trip to Half Moon Bay, California, for the 47th World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off. Just south of San Francisco, with this giant gourd in your car. He said it was nerve-wracking driving with it, because every bump on the road he kept thinking, is it going to make it? He did make it. He was the last one in the competition. It was weighed, and the reaction was incredible. So he'd never done anything like that, and he won $16,450. Roughly, if you figure it out and break it down per pound, that's $7 a pound for this lumpy, dumpy orange pumpkin that they're going to showcase during a parade through Half Moon Bay. You know, it was the second heaviest ever weighed at this huge California event. It wasn't a record. It's not a record, a U.S. record. That was set 2 years ago when somebody in New Hampshire had a pumpkin that weighed more than 2,500 pounds. And by the way, for everybody listening around the world, that the record for the heaviest pumpkin in the world, that was set in 2016 at the Giant Pumpkin European Championships in Germany. And it was a Belgium grower's winning pumpkin that came in at just over 2,600 pounds. I mean, how do you grow these things that they get this big? I mean, he was fertilizing, watering it, doing it twice a day, and he was trying to get a nice, gorgeous, big pumpkin, and he did. I wouldn't say it's gorgeous, but it is huge. I mean, it's just, it almost looks like a walnut with some orange thrown in on the side. It's crazy looking. But good for him. Trying to take that way, get the whole thing done, get to the championships, not really thinking about it, and then, ba-dum-bum, he wins the whole thing. So that is a perfect mic drop moment. Congratulations to him on doing that. The 35-hour drive would be, oh, that'd be terrible. And then what do you do if you have to stop at a hotel? Like, oh, I can't keep my eyes open. I just can't fall asleep in this parking lot. I gotta crash somewhere. Would you trust that the pumpkin would be safe in the car? I mean, would you where you were hauling it, or would you try to get it into the hotel room? Hey, do you have room for me and my gourd? Yeah, you know, my gourd. I got to somehow get it into the room. I don't even know if the door would be big enough. Seriously. It is the craziest thing. And trust me, just whatever your device is, whatever device you use to search your search engine, do that and you will be blown away at the size of this sucker. And good for him, I say. Right? Absolutely. You see, he's still going to have fun. Even if he's really serious about this pumpkin patch. I don't think he set out to do what he did. And he said he didn't really set out to do that, but hey, he did. Don't forget, on Wednesdays, the last segment of our first hour, we have a thing called Nail the Score. You don't have to know anything about football. You just have to guess who's going to win the game of the week and what the final score is going to be. Like, who would have guessed that the Saints would come back to beat the Chargers, who had a serious point lead on New Orleans, but Drew Brees never count them out. So they erased a 17-point deficit, and they beat the Los Angeles Chargers 30-27 in overtime. And that was the Monday night thriller. I don't know if Monday night games are down or not. It's worth mentioning that, though. It's worth mentioning the fact that we have our bingo-like football game. I say it's like bingo because it's just numbers. You're just picking numbers. But who would have thought that would have been the score of that game? I would never have predicted that. First of all, I would have said much lower, and definitely not overtime, but we're seeing that there's some of these overtime games that are that are happening, right? In the meantime, they're celebrating in Los Angeles because LeBron James and the Lakers have won the championship. I mean, that happened days ago, but they win the championship, and now he is a player who's won a championship with three different teams. You wonder, you win with three different teams, you certainly have plenty of, you've made it, you're in your 30s, blah, 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 it takes a toll. Do you step away or do you keep on ticking? Do you just keep on going, 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 right? And I know there's some people, it's a weird time for sports, where either people are looking for the escape or people are looking to beat up people who are looking for the escape because they just don't want to hear about it. They're just completely turned off by the whole idea of anything to do with sports. Like, everything's political now, right? It's almost like everything is like sports, though. You're picking a team aside, whatever. But the road to recovery, I hope, will repair some of these things that have happened along the way with relationships, because this is one of, I mean, that used to be one of the sort of great equalizers. Yes, people are getting paid a lot of money. They have been for a long time to place whatever the sport is. But then it became the political live wire, and that tilted things in a much, much different direction. But I still think it's something that takes your mind away from the other things that are hitting you in the face every single day. And what's hitting you in the face? What's going on with COVID? Are you bleeding economically? Are you trying to figure out how to navigate with your health around it? This has touched all of our lives in some ways, some bigger than others. You know, it's interesting because when somebody talks about, oh, somebody passed on, or, oh, did you hear of the diagnosis of XYZ, what do you automatically think? You think COVID, right? So I saw a blurb about a British singer who I like, Tom Parker, and he's probably known the best for being a member of a boy band called The Wanted. And he was diagnosed with stage four brain tumor. It's inoperable. No cure. So remember I said the dreaded words, I think, now are hashtag no cure when we talk about COVID-19. This is what he has. So Parker, who's, again, only 32, he's got a wife expecting their second child, and you see him and you look at him and you think, oh, that is devastating, right? It's devastating. I mean, it's a battle. It's really, it has no cure, and most patients survive for less than two years. And then, of course, when the tumor spreads, it can affect everything. I mean, from mood and behavior and every function of the body and all that kind of stuff. But the 5-year survival rate, I was looking all this stuff up, for someone his age is 22%, according to the American Cancer Society. So, you know, fingers crossed and everything else, good vibes for what I understand is, I mean, listen, he's a celebrity in his own right, I guess, because of the singing. But from what I understand, a good guy with a young family. And what did I automatically think? That it was COVID. All right, stay with us. We'll be heading to the author's corner. We got some really good ones for you. Oh, yeah. My pal D.W. Duke to tag things off this hour. And the surprise in between with Mr. Chu in the U.K.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Supreme Court nominee Judge Amy Coney Barrett got her chance to speak near the end of the first day of her confirmation hearings. In her opening statement, Barrett told the Senate Judicial Committee what motivated her to accept the nomination.
I chose to accept the nomination because I believe deeply in the rule of law and the place of the Supreme Court in our nation. I believe Americans of all backgrounds deserve an independent Supreme Court that interprets our Constitution and laws as they are written. And I believe I can serve my country by playing that role.
Tech stocks led a surge as the market posted a six-week high on Monday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 250 points to close up nearly 1%. The S&P 500 gained 1.6% on the day, and the NASDAQ Composite surged up 296 points, gaining 2.5% on the day's trading. This is USA Radio News. As President Trump returns to the campaign trail with tonight's rally in Florida, the White House is pushing for this week's cancel debate to go on as originally scheduled. White House Deputy Communications Director Brian Morgenstern told reporters that the president is ready for another face-to-face showdown with Joe Biden.
The president is ready to debate, and his doctors have cleared him for participating in public engagements. They've said he's no longer a risk for transmission. So it would be nice if the commission would get the debate back on the schedule. I think the president's ready to go. He wants to be on stage debating Joe Biden in person. So if they'll do that, get it back on the schedule, I think the president would be happy to show up.
The mayor of a Tennessee town that hosts the Bonnaroo Music Festival has died of COVID-19. The city of Manchester, Tennessee, announced Monday the passing of Mayor Lonnie Norman more than a week after he was hospitalized for the virus. Norman was elected to his third term as mayor for the town of 10,000 people back in August. He was 79. This is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
England, and we have in our virtual green room John William Chu. Such a fascinating guy. We had a great off-air conversation, and he's written a book that is a page-turner. It was a page-turner for me. I read it. Oh, yes, I stayed up way too late. The Green-Eyed Girl is the name of the book. John, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
It's a pleasure, Kate.
So let's talk about how important writing is to you. One of the things that we talked about off air for everybody listening is people have ideas, but they don't actually have the discipline to get it down, or they put it aside. It has to be gratifying to you to be able to do that and to put this book together, and you've got another one that's finishing up.
It is. I mean, it's one of the things that I've always said to myself, which is that basically you're not a writer unless you actually get on with it and write. But that takes a certain amount of effort. It takes a certain amount of self-discipline and so on. So with my second book, the one that I've just written, for example, I set myself a specific deadline. I decided that this second book was one that I was going to write by the end of this month, September, and that gives me something to focus on and actually gets me putting in the hours and doing the work.
And you did the work, and then Green Eyed Girl comes about, and like I said, it's a real page-turner. Tell everybody what Green Eyed Girl is about.
Green Eyed Girl is an allegorical fantasy. So basically, it's a fantasy story. It's about dragons and about an interaction between a society of dragons and a society of humans. But what it does is it has themes within it which relate back to our world and to the world around us that we live in. So, yes, it is fantasy. Yes, there are dragons. But, yes, it also has messages for the real world.
I like that, messages for the real world. And what, give us one of the messages for the real world.
Well, in fact, there are basically two of them. And the first one is a message about nature and about the damage that we as human beings have an unfortunate tendency to do to nature. And so the story within the book is relating to environmental harm and to the harm that we do to the wildlife that lives around us. And then there's a second theme, which is in a way different, but sort of equal importance as far as I was concerned, which is that we as human beings tend to have this unfortunate tendency to see ourselves as part of a particular group, a particular tribe, a particular sort of identification of the people around us. And we have an unfortunate tendency to look at anyone outside our defined social group and think ill of them, to think suspiciously about them, to think that they are strangers, that they are threatening, and so on. And so the second main theme of the Green Eyed Girl is about that and about the fact that that is not something that is good for us as people. We need to be able to see the other people around us as what they really are, rather than this sort of imagined idea of what they might be because they're different to us.
Right. I understand that. So interesting in listening to that. You made me think about tribes and, boy, oh, John, what a big theme that is. And wouldn't the world be a better place if people could just be and move about and not feel as though they had to be following the norms of whatever that tribe is. And I think you really do nail that in the book. And that's why I like that interaction with the dragons. Was it fun to write about the dragons?
I've got this wildly overactive imagination. it's something that I've been plagued with since I was a child. And when I was a child, I used to read Tolkien, The Lord of the Rings, The Silmarillion, and so on, and that fired it up. And I've carried that into my adult life. And it's wonderful to explore those ideas and to explore your imagination and to let things build and see where they go in your own head. So in that sense, yes, it was great fun to do, but there was also a lot of hard work to it because there were things that I wanted to be in there. For example, I particularly wanted, when you are reading the book and you're reading about dragons and the way they interact with other dragons, I wanted those dragons to be, in effect, people. So that, yes, they're dragons, yes, they're 200 tons, yes, they breathe fire, but I wanted them to not be portrayed as monsters. I wanted them to have interactions. I wanted them to talk and to feel and to explain and to be very much people in their own right.
Ah, so well said. What do you hope people take away from reading this book? And again, the book is The Green-Eyed Girl, and we're speaking with John William Chu. Love that name. And you can find him on Amazon. So what do you hope people take away from reading it?
Well, I mean, there are, in effect, three sort of things that I would love for a reader to get from this book. One, yes, I would love them to see what I'm trying to say about the environment and about environmental protection and about, you know, not harming the existence of the other life forms on the planet. And second, I would like them perhaps to think about our inherent nature and our inherent tendency towards tribalism. But ultimately, of course, there is a third thing that I really want, which is that I want them to enjoy it. That's really the bottom line of why I write the book. I wanted to write the book in the hope that people would pick it up and read it and actually find that after reading it, they have enjoyed the experience of going through that story.
Yeah. Again, another well said. I think I said well said three times for you. So this is a good interview.
Thank you.
but so true. And you know, you talk about the work and the discipline, but I know it was fun for you, and you can tell you absolutely have the passion.
Absolutely.
And you've got another book that's coming up, and we don't want to give it away, but I liked Green-Eyed Girl so much I can barely stand thinking that I have to wait for the next one. Give us just a little tiny sneak, like a trailer, as they say in the movie business, of this next book.
The next book. The next book is going to have the title Her Father's Daughter.
Mm.
And it is, I mean, one of the things that happens with me is that I have, in effect, imaginative hits. Something just occurs to me, an idea occurs to me, and then once the idea has occurred to me, I want to run with it. And sometimes, you know, I have the background of loving fantasy from Tolkien and whatever. In The Green-Eyed Girl, it was a fantasy idea. But this next book, it didn't happen to be. It's an entirely different genre. And so Her Father's Daughter is actually a modern crime fiction story. It's set in an unspecified British town. I haven't actually given the British town a name, but it's actually set during August 2019, 5 days during August 2019, and it's a modern crime, I don't know whether I call it a thriller, but a modern crime story.
Ah, I like it. Don't tell us any more. Leave us wanting more. John William Chu, it was such a delight to talk to you. And again, his book is on Amazon, The Green-Eyed Girl. Thank you for joining us on the show.
It's a pleasure.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
There's nothing worse than thinking that your Medicare benefits are going to cover routine medical expenses like vision, dental, and prescription benefits, only to find that when an emergency arises, your Medicare plan is full of gaps that don't even begin to cover your medical emergency. How would it feel to have to go into debt because your Medicare program didn't cover everything 100%? Studies show that 95% of Medicare recipients pay more than $5,000 per year on out-of-pocket medical expenses. At SnapMedicare.com, we understand how important it is for you to be prepared for any type of medical emergency. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to find out exactly where you stand with your Medicare coverage and to save thousands on future costs. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare coverage, remember, call 800-286-5516. SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Have a conversation with D.W. Duke. He's written 6 books and he has released recently a book called Not Without a Fight, and it's about a Polish Jew's resistance to what happened to his family, the struggle of the family during the Holocaust. In fact, pretty well known. So D.W. Duke, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so tell us how this story came about, and tell us who the story is about, who I think is somebody who's starting at least to get well-known his story.
Well, I had had a client that was actually a distant cousin. I was working on a civil rights case with him, and during the course of our conversation, he began telling me a little bit about his father, who was a resistance fighter in World War II Poland. And the more we talked, the more I realized that this is an intriguing story, and I was writing historical novels at the time. And so we decided we'd go ahead and take the story and run with it. So had meetings. At that time, the Holocaust survivor, his father, Cass, was still alive, and I was able to interview him a number of times and get a lot of information. So we put the story together and went with it.
Yeah, and in the story, you know, you talk about being forced in, being somebody who was wealthy and then being forced into a Jewish ghetto and then what that was like. Was it eye-opening for you to hear the story and then weave this into a tale?
It was. I learned so much information, and I was familiar with the Holocaust, but I learned so much information that I was not aware of. Just about the way things were done in Poland at the time and what took place and the uprising and what happened during the uprising. So, yes, it was a very eye-opening story for me.
Yeah, so tell us about the story. Give us a little, you know, tease us a little bit. If you and I are having coffee, say, tell me about this story. So tell me about the story.
Oh, Okay, Cass Bieberstein was an eight-year-old boy living in Warsaw, Poland at the time. Very wealthy family. They had a mansion and had numerous houses throughout the country. And September 1, 1939, Germany invaded. They had had some conversations about it before that, but they really didn't know if it was actually going to happen. And so it caught him off guard, but eventually what happened was his family was forced out of their mansion by Oskar Schindler and his group of people, and they took the mansion and they used it to sell Jewish artifacts. But in the process, Cass he had to go from apartment to apartment in Warsaw, because Jews eventually were forced into the ghetto. And so he was eventually forced into the Warsaw ghetto with his family. And over time, because his grandfather was a major in the Polish army, he taught him how to use a gun. Cass knew how to use a gun, and he became a sniper for the underground resistance. So that was his life until the end of the war. And they had many, many crazy experiences during the process of just trying to survive. And, of course, as I said, he chose to fight back. And, in fact, that's where we got the title to the book, Not Without a Fight. He said that we were in a situation where we knew we were going to die. And at that point, we could either fight back or just submit. And he said we fought back. And we were going to go, and we're going to go not without a fight. So that's where the title of the book came from.
Yeah, and again, you can pick the book up. It's fascinating on Amazon. Not Without a Fight, The Story of a Polish Jew's Resistance. And, boy, you will just be pulled into the story. There's no doubt about that. So for somebody like you, you've written six books. You tackle this. Was this rewarding?
It was. That's probably more than any book I've written. I used to write law books. And I decided that I wanted to write books that somebody would read besides judges and lawyers. So I started writing historical novels. And of all the books I've done so far, this was probably it was the most intriguing.
Yeah, and you hope that when people read this that they get lost in the story, they have a little bit of understanding, because I think the further we get away from the Holocaust and the younger people, the little they understand.
That's true, and unfortunately, many of the young people today don't even know about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
They believe it didn't occur. So, one of the things that historical novels do, they let you take a historical event and put it in a form that is interesting to the public, that people would actually be interested in reading as opposed to a history book. So that's why I write historical novels.
Yeah. When you write, after you do the law books and then you decide you want people to read your books that are more than in the legal profession, and you go the historical novel route and then you come up with this, where do you hope this goes for you next? Because I can't imagine you're going to stop writing.
No, we actually have the plans are in process to make it into a motion picture, so hopefully we'll be moving forward with that. And there's so much in the story that people really need to know. For example, there was a Catholic family that befriended them before the war, and the Catholic family throughout the whole period that they were in the ghetto and everything that they went through, this family helped them, and they say that if it hadn't been for that family, they would not have survived. And interestingly, after the book came out, some relatives of that family contacted us and said, we know the story, and we talked to them, and it was really intriguing.
Wow. And when you take a book like this one and you then look at moving it toward a motion picture, that process has to be kind of crazy, going to screenplay, et cetera, right?
Yes, it is. And it's a very time-consuming process. People probably don't realize how long it takes to get from concept to a motion picture. It actually takes quite a few years.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too. You look at other films, the impact, like Steven Spielberg's Schindler's List. You mentioned Schindler and the impact that he had on so many lives. What did Cass say about that?
Well, it was an interesting situation. Cass actually did not want Spielberg to do that movie, and he talked to him about it. And the reason was he had a different image of Schindler. But people can change, and it's undisputed that at the beginning of the war, Schindler was an opportunist. So, we have the story from the way Steven Spielberg presented it, which is that he changed and reformed as time went on and ultimately saved the lives of a number of Jews. So, Cass, I asked Greg, I said, Cass, do you think he really, really changed in your mind or in your heart of hearts, he said, I can't tell you what another person thinks. I can only tell you what I experienced. So we just told this story as it was and didn't make any comments about what may have happened with Schindler in the long run.
Yeah. Again, the book is so interesting, Not Without a Fight, shortening the title there. You can grab it on Amazon. And it is a story that just, it's a historical novel, as D.W. Duke says. So for you, you go from, what was I reading? I was reading your background, and I think it's good to tell people the backstory, that you have a double major in economics and psychology from the University of Michigan. Go Blue! And then you go to Washington University School of Law. Wow, like you're somebody who's super educated. Then you're in Los Angeles, where you are, and you're an attorney, an author, a lecturer, all that kind of stuff. And then to boot, you also have a fifth-degree black belt in Taekwondo. Wow. How do you find time to do everything else in between?
It's difficult. when you're active like that, as you know, there's very little time for anything except what you're doing in your project. So yeah. There's not a lot of downtime.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think people should read this book. It's fascinating. It pulls you in. There is no question about that. And it'll make you see things, I think, in a different way. And I wish you the best with getting this on the big screen. Thank you so much for coming on, D.W. Duke.
My pleasure. And again, thank you for having me on the show.
Wow. So, like I said, for me, how interesting to talk to D.W. Duke. We think of Dr. Edith Egger and the fact that I had that conversation with her about Auschwitz and the point that just in that back and forth with DW that there's so many people that aren't aware of the Holocaust and what happened, younger people. And this book is so well written, though. It's the storytelling is rich. You know, when I talk to people who write novels, which we do here on the show, and that's my quest is what are you doing, what are you reading, that kind of stuff with everything else that we're talking about on the show. And this is an eye-opener, and it's a very, very well-told story. I mean, that's it. And Not Without a Fight, which you just heard us discuss there, really shares the true story of a Polish Jew's journey to becoming a resistance fighter, like he said, he was trying to get justice for wrongs while trying to survive the atrocities of the Holocaust. And imagine what that was like if you take yourself back there to, you know, 1939 and you're living one way and then suddenly your life is twisted, turned over, and it's something completely different. And you have no idea what's going to really happen from day to day. So anyway, you can get that on Amazon.com. Easy to find. As we said, Not Without a Fight. The story of a Polish Jew's resistance. D.W. Duke did a fabulous job on that. And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. The coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.